Welcome to the MVC Storefront Part 14. This is a real-world application building exercise wherein we're building out an e-commerce storefront using ASP.NET, MVC, and TDD. My name is Rob Connery. I work at Microsoft. My email is robcon@microsoft.com. You can email me there with any questions, or you can leave a comment on this blog. Today I want to talk about rich client interaction, specifically AJAX. Now, it might seem a little bit early in the project cycle to be building AJAX capabilities into the platform. However, in the future, AJAX will be wired in directly to ASP.NET MVC, and so it won't be a consideration really to use AJAX. It'll just kind of be par for the course. Which brings up an interesting point, because as of right today, not much has been said about AJAX. In fact, if I can summarize it, it would look something like this. So with respect to MVC, AJAX has sort of been left behind. Well, that's not really a conscious choice. That's just a matter of Phil's team focusing on getting the core bits, the framework, correct before they go into the bells and whistles. But do know there are a lot of AJAX resources out there, specifically Stephen Walter's blog, who is new to Microsoft. He's written a number of books on ASP.NET, and just recently has written a number of articles on ASP.NET AJAX with MVC. A lot of the code that you're going to see today, in fact, comes from that. In addition, Nikhil has put together a lot of great examples of how to use AJAX, ASP.NET AJAX, with MVC. So what I want to focus on today are your options and things that you can do using AJAX frameworks. Before I get there, though, I want to point out that there's a lot of stuff that you can use right now, including third-party providers like jQuery. jQuery is all the rage, which I'm sure you've heard. But if you don't know jQuery, their site is very informative. And Rick Strahl just wrote a great editorial today and blog posts, and he's got lots of blog posts on jQuery as well. And if you don't know, Rick is a regular contributor and senior editor of Code Magazine, and he wrote an article about how to use jQuery in basic scripting and also MVC stuff. But what a lot of people don't know, and this is something that I'm trying to change with today's webcast, is that ASP.NET AJAX is really, you can use that right today with MVC. Unfortunately, there's just not a lot of guidance out there. So what I want to do is kind of point it out to you that there are a lot of people who are starting to blog and use ASP.NET AJAX with MVC. Now, if you're a jQuery fan, by all means, use whatever works out for you. But a lot of people kind of think of ASP.NET AJAX as, well, you need a script manager, four-minute server, and all this. You can't use it. Well, indeed you can, and I want to dispel that myth today. So a couple of things that you can do. I would start off by going to see Stephen Walter's blog. He's got a great set of posts here. In fact, the one that I've been reading a lot lately is using ASP.NET AJAX with ASP.NET MVC, a lot of ASP.NET in there. Has some great code. A lot of it you're going to see today again. But also check out Nikhil's Script Sharp. It's really cool. It's you develop some code in C Sharp, you run Script Sharp, and it turns it into consumable behaviors that you can use with the AJAX core libraries. So I want to point out that that is out there. So one last thing I want to say is today's screencast is almost explicitly on the ASP.NET AJAX framework. Now, before people out there cry foul, one thing I want you to know is there are an extreme amount of folks out there who cannot use open source projects in their project. jQuery's got a lot of documentation, and it's got a lot of examples out there. So my focus today is going to be on providing a little bit of insight into how to use and extend ASP.NET AJAX. I am talking today to my boss, Sean Burke, who was the old caretaker of the AJAX Control Toolkit, and he's going to show me how to run up some really cool script, how to do an asynchronous form postback, and also how to do kind of what they call a remote link, where you click a button or a link and then call a controller, and then have the result be returned to a div. So this is a really cool stuff. I think you're gonna learn a lot today, so let's jump right to it. So I'm doing a pair session today with Sean Burke, who is otherwise known as my boss. Sean, thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, you bet.
So what I want to do today is to implement ASP.NET AJAX scripting into the website here and kind of do some client love. A lot of people might think that should come towards the end, but my client's very visual. I'm making it up, my fictitious client's very visual, and they want to see some of the neat things that are coming up. So I thought right now might be an apropos time to wrap up some of these features with AJAX. So Sean is the kind of, or was, I should say, the kind of what's the best term, the all time, all being space master time, whatever it is, the HX control
That's
toolkit.
how we say it here, yeah.
So what, I don't know, what happened, where's the Ajax control toolkit nowadays?
Toolkit's been a big project for us, been really successful. My team has been focusing on Silverlight a little bit, but we don't want to leave all of our customers in the lurch for the Ajax control toolkit. So right now we're working out kind of a plan to actually get some more resources focused on it from the ASP.NET team itself. My team is separate from that team. To kind of reinvigorate growth there. You know, my team has been, you know, incorporating patches that the toolkit takes, patches from the community. So we've been incorporating those, but we really haven't had a lot of time there doing real innovation there. And so between my team and the ASP.NET Ajax team, we're working on a plan to get that moving again.
Well, cool. Well, you know, so let me just ask you a tough question, and I told you I was going to ask you a tough question. With the advent of MVC, you know, clearly we lose the paging model that we've had before, the abstraction of kind of a forms-based interaction, you know, where you drag and drop stuff on the page. The toolkit relied heavily on that kind of thing, where you drag and drop, let's say, a script manager that would manage the scripts you needed, and then you had the control toolkit, you add stuff to your toolbar and drag and drop on your page, and it was all managed for you.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about why folks might think that it's the way that you thought it was, and then just to kind of set up how the whole thing is put together, and then we'll talk more about how to do it. A good example of it here in this website. So the toolkit is really focused around the scripts, and ASP.NET Ajax, as well as the toolkit, were designed to be able to run without the ASP.NET server on the back end. So basically, there's two sides of the toolkit. There's all the script behaviors themselves, which really define the meat of what happens on the client side.
So I'm playing along with you as you're talking about this. So I'm opening up each one of the controls is sort of in a folder here in the source code, and this is the source code of the toolkit.
Yep,
So the
and then you
behavior.
get this all on CodePlex. So if folks want to get this download, you go out to codeplex.com and you'll find us out there. So sorry, go ahead.
Oops, that's okay. So when you're talking about this stuff, I just want to say the behaviors are actually JavaScript files, right?
JavaScript files.
Okay, go on.
So the great and powerful thing about ASP.NET Ajax is this, you know, object-oriented framework that Ajax provides for writing components. So for any people that have done JavaScript development on their websites in the past and found that JavaScript in your pages kind of littered about gets difficult to manage over time if you get more complex, it's hard to kind of encapsulate it, there's not a really good reuse model. So the framework that Ajax itself, ASP.NET Ajax, is built on really, really helps with that. And so we took that a step further with the control toolkit and really built out a set of extensions that make it super easy to write.
To get started here working with ASP.NET Ajax in the commerce application, I need to add some scripts in. Notice I don't need to use any DLLs. ASP.NET Ajax bits are already baked into the framework. I'm using, again, ASP.NET 3.5. So what I want to do now is make sure that I go get the scripts I need. I can pull them out of the resource files, but I don't want to do that. I want to just pop the scripts that I need into the website so there's no magic working. So here I am at ASP.NET/Ajax. There's a whole bunch of things you can do here, especially learning. There's showcases, there's documentations, there's forums. There's a lot of videos you can watch too. This is mostly focused around web forms. We're working on the MVC stuff right now, just so you know. Okay, well, if you click on the download button, it'll take you over to the downloads page, and you have some choices of things that you can download if you want. You notice here that the control toolkit has a link. As well, you can just download the library bits, which is what I'm going to do right now. And so when you download this, it's a zip file, and all it's got in it is standalone JavaScript files. And I've already downloaded it to my hard drive. And so finally, what I've also downloaded is the Control Toolkit source code. So if you click the little link over here, download the Control Toolkit, it takes you over to the CodePlex project where ASP.NET Ajax Control Toolkit lives. And then you can come down here and you can download the source, which is what I've downloaded, which is this link right here for Framework 3.5. Now, the reason I want that source is because it's got the behavior script files in it that I'm going to need to run the next example that I'm going to show you with Sean. To find out the scripts that I'm going to need, what I've done is I've opened up the source of the Ajax Control Toolkit. I'll be working on the text box watermark. Now, I know that there's core scripts that I need to make the extender base, which is the extender control base. There's core script files that you need to make that work. And I'll show you that in just a second. But what you want to do, if you want to make the Ajax Control Toolkit work on your site, one of these toolkits items, that is, what you want to look is the required script tags right here, client script resources. And you can see this one just has one single one, which is textbox watermark JS. That is the behavior file that I will be pulling. So I went to the hard drive, and there you can see there's the JS file. Go there, I'm going to grab that script, and I'm going to drop it into my scripts file. Let's take a look at that. All right, here's the scripts that I'm going to need. So the first bits that you see, this is the main Microsoft Ajax, kind of the system core Ajax scripting stuff. You have two choices. You have debug and you have JS. Now these files, this file is pretty heavy. It's about 240K. Now this is just debug. You don't want to have this obviously on a live site. But this one is only about 80K. And that gets compressed even further when you're talking about using gzip on a, like a production website. So that's actually pretty small. The extender-based controls, or the whole controls, or all the controls in the control toolkit, need common and they need base scripts. So if you're going to be working with any of these things, you want to make sure you have these two script files in place. And finally, since I'm going to be using the textbox watermark, as you can see here, I've added that behavior in. So if you want to use something like a calendar or whatever, you just got to take a look at the source in the control toolkit, grab the script files that it needs, add it in your scripts. And so now we need to add some code to our page. So let's pick it up with Sean. Well, you know, I'll be honest with you, Sean. Initially, when we were writing this code out and I was looking at all this just to accomplish what hopefully we're about to accomplish, I was thinking, man, that's a lot of code. But at the same time, like what you've been saying, you know, we were able to abstract it away a little bit with the control layer in ASP.NET. So the thing that I wanted to point out at this point is that with the transition of the toolkit to the ASP team, it's nice because I know they have a lot of guys that are working on transitioning a lot of this stuff to work within MVC. So hopefully this becomes a matter of using a helper or two or one line of code or saying watermark this text box or something to that effect. So for those of you who are watching this and saying, oh my god, that's a lot of code just to do this little thing, just know that we're endeavoring strongly to make this happen in a lot less code. Is that a fair thing to say, Sean?
Yeah, I think that absolutely. This should be pretty easy to do with some helpers. There's no rocket science here. Like I mentioned, all of the components in the toolkit actually declare what script files they need. So I think that with a little bit of cleverness, you could actually write a helper that would do basically all of this for you. I think you would probably end up needing to still do the very last part of the hookup, maybe in a little nicer way, but all of the plumbing parts in the top are definitely, you can get rid of it.
Cool. So is there anything else we need to do here?
I don't think so. I think we're ready to give it a try.
All right. That's always fun. No build errors. It would be kind of horrible if JavaScript crashed our server, wouldn't it? Is it possible?
I don't think that's possible. Yeah.
Okay, so the page is loaded, and look at that. We've got our...
It worked.
Yeah, so... Woo! For those of you who aren't familiar with what a watermark is, you can see I'm clicking in and out. And
so change it to type here, type name here or something, and then that'll make more sense.
Okay. Type name here.
Yeah.
Okay, groovy. Type name here.
Hey!
Nice. So this is pretty cool, albeit a very simple example. At least it illustrates, that you don't need a script manager, and you certainly don't need to have even the control toolkit DLL here. But we have the full functionality what it would give us. So, Sean, to reassure folks out there, we're working on this. Phil's team is working on trying to roll as much of the toolkit as they can out in the coming releases. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, there's certain parts of the toolkit that will always stay public as part of the open source project we have built there. I think what Phil and his folks are looking at are kind of figuring out ways to take some of the innovations from the toolkit and bake them into the MVC the runtime itself.
Oh wow, okay.
Because a lot of stuff that we did in the toolkit that's really popular and works really well, and I think we want to kind of merge the two together a little bit as far as how they work.
Sounds good. What I really want to do is I want to create a helper class that will take this form right here for this login page, and I can by just changing a method have it be an Ajax form where it does kind of a remote request, and I want to have the results of that request populated on a page, or excuse me, in a div tag here. I want to do that for a mm-hmm. form request, and I want to do it for just a remote request, like I hit a button and it updates the HTML somewhere else. How easy is that going to be?
Should be pretty easy. The Ajax framework itself provides you a lot of classes to make that really simple.
So do I need to do anything special? Do I need any special DLLs or anything like that? Or can I just use the JavaScript files that I've just downloaded?
Yeah, once you've got the Ajax JavaScript stuff loaded, all the classes are in there to do the asynchronous requests.
Okay, and so what I want to do now, real fast before we get to that, is tackle the question that probably is on the tip of everyone's tongue and in their head, at least a lot of people that are familiar with MVC. What about jQuery? A jQuery does all these things, and it does it really easy. I know that there's things you can do with jQuery that take two or three lines of code, and versus, you know, I know people are probably looking at what we just did and said, oh my gosh, we should be using jQuery. But jQuery's not quite the same as the toolkit. And you had a take on this that we talked about earlier. And so, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, jQuery's cool. There's no question about it. jQuery's pretty heavily focused on, you know, DOM traversal and DOM selectors. Mm-hmm. It does have some Ajax functions, but I think that that's really their focus. If you look at the Ajax, at ASP.NET Ajax, it's more targeted towards component building, building components in Ajax. I mean, sorry, in JavaScript. It's targeted towards doing, there's a bunch of functionality in there for making web service calls really easy, and we're going to leverage some of that stuff here mm-hmm. in a minute. And then it's, you know, focused more on kind of higher level components. So I think that they're... In a lot of ways, they're kind of complementary. I think they can work together just fine. You know, sure, we can accomplish a lot of this stuff with jQuery, but you can accomplish it with the Ajax and the Ajax Control Toolkit mm-hmm. as well.
Well, and the other thing, too, that a lot of people might not understand completely is a lot of shops don't have a choice of using an open source thing, and that's something that's been drilled into my head over the last 10 years. You know, when I get a job before I was working at Microsoft, and I'd say, oh, I want to use blah, 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 and they say, no, we can't do that. IT won't let us. You know, things like mm-hmm. that. So, you know, that's just something to keep in mind. So what I think has been missing from MVC is how to leverage ASP.NET Ajax core scripting. And before we jump into this too, what I also wanted to point out is, I am going to jump over here, yes. Stephen Walter, isn't that a great picture of Stephen? He works down the hall from me, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
He looks like, you know, what we need is the rest of that picture. I think he's going to be sitting on a rock or something like that.
A rock.
The thinker.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. If you can't tell from that,
it's probably not by accident.
yeah. If you can't tell from his banner, Stephen is got a lot of thoughts with respect to ASP.NET MVC. But one of the really cool blog posts he had that I learned a lot from is how to use it with Ajax. And Sean, I know you and him probably talked a lot about this as well. So let's move on. Let's do the simple thing first. What I want to do is I want to have a button on a page, and we can go back to our main page here that we're on. I want to click a button, and I want a div tag to update based on the output of a controller call. Can we do that really easily?
Oh, yeah, very easily.
Okay, well, let's do it. Okay, Sean, so here's the setup. This is what I want to do. I've got a button on my page, and when I click that button, there's no form involved here. It's just going to be a button click event. I want that to asynchronously call an action on my controller. It's going to be my catalog controller, and I want to output that mm-hmm. information right here. And so in my catalog controller, I've created a new action down here. I'm just calling it callback. I'm kind of setting you up for a little bit of a you know, callbacky stuff. And mm-hmm. I'm using preview 3, and so with that, we don't need to pass actually explicit view data down. We just pass in this value here. It's a string. I'm going to pass it in through the URL, and it's going to pull it back and toss it down. That's it. So ideally, and then I have a view, by the way. I put an underscore in front of it. This is going to render out the view message. Put an underscore in front of it because that's a Rails convention, and you know, people are used to seeing it. And all that does is just parrots back, hello, hello, hello. So that's it. So how do we go about setting this up? What's the first thing we need to do?
Well, in this case, we're going to need to have a handler that fires when that click happens. So we want to add a click handler to that input.
Okay. So let's see. All right, let's do that. We'll call this. Should we just put it in line here? Should we wire it up in the beginning?
Let's go ahead and wire it up. It's going to be a few lines of code.
All right.
So now what we're going to do is the Ajax framework exposes classes that look a lot like the classes you're used to in manage code in C Sharp. So there's a class called system.net.webrequest. Mm-hmm. So say var request equals new system.net.webrequest, or sys.net.webrequest, excuse me. I think that's right. What? So basically what this is a class that we can now code against, and it's got some methods on it called like URL and called like callback and stuff like that, so that when that thing, you go ahead and fire that off and you'll get another callback back. So it's pretty much the standard pattern here. We're going to set the URL that we're going to call first, so we'll say request.set_URL.
Okay, so this is going to be, now normally we don't want to hard code this, but I don't have any helpers or anything like that. I'm just going to hard code this for the purposes of the demo, but what I'm going to do is I'm just going to call this store.catalog and then callback. Actually, I'll make this proper cased. I'll just do it like this, callback. So that's going to be the URL that we're going to call. Okay?
Okay. And then we're going to have to set the verb. So request.set_HTTP verb.
Alrighty.
It's get.
Okay.
And then request.set. Add_completed, and this is where we're going to add a method that we're going to call on completion. So we'll make up a name called request completed.
Okay.
And then we'll write that method in a second, and then request.invoke.
Ah, cool. Okay. Is that uppercase?
Lowercase.
Right. Okay, so okay, cool. So this is much like what you'd see on the server-side stuff. You just have it's the same name. If I have that right.
Yep. And then we need an open parent and a close parent on invoke
of
there,
because it's a method. And so this is great. So what we're doing here is we're just passing it in a JavaScript function that it's going to call when it's finished. So that JavaScript function. Okay, so I could probably write this part myself, almost, I guess. Okay, so we've finished the code up here. So let me just ask you a quick question. There's going to be some folks out there who probably are thinking, why can't this happen synchronously? You know, when I click this, my button click, why can't we just wait for it and have the response populated? That's kind of the way we at least look at it on the server side, right? You have a control flow.
Yeah. Yeah, the main reason is the way that the stacks are built in the different browsers. Mm-hmm. And they are built on asynchronous callbacks. So there's no way to do it synchronously. I'm sure you could figure out a way to make it look synchronous, but there's only one thread usually in the JavaScript side, so it's
okay. So cool. So this is pretty simple stuff. It looks like we're testing to see if a response is available, and then because once this is called, this is essentially handing back this web request again. We're seeing if there was a response. If there wasn't, we're just doing some quick error checking down here. We're seeing if it timed out or if it was aborted, and we just kind of throw an alert. Right, pretty simple stuff. But this is neat right here. This is a quick little function which is basically get element by ID. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right. And it seems easy enough. And we're just setting the inner HTML to the get response data, and the response data is simply the rendered response. Is that right?
That's right.
Wow, that was pretty easy, Sean. Okay. Well, hopefully I've wired everything else up on the site.
So yep. One thing to note about this though, before we go on, is that one of the things that the AJAX framework gives you here. And actually, I'm not sure. I assume that this happens in some of the other frameworks we've talked about. Is that that this is what this is hiding under the covers is, the little differences in how you do this between Firefox and Internet Explorer and Safari. Mm-hmm. So this is also doing a bunch of compatibility stuff for you under the covers to make sure the right methods get set up and stuff like that.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Actually, one thing I'm not doing here is I'm not passing in. I set you up to pass a string in. I'm not going to do that. I
was going to ask about that.
So I'll just put hello world here. That was a bad example. Okay, so now this should be wired up. Let's take a look.
Because we didn't delete it.
It works.
That's the server side. Yeah.
Look at that. Well, it worked, but it output the code. Well, this is interesting. So we've got two errors here, and we actually have some decent error reporting, but we don't have an object back on our controller. So let's go and fix that. Actually, I'm pretty happy. This worked. We have full stack trace returned back.
You have AJAX error report.
Hey, that's not so bad. Okay, so Sean, I think your part is done. If I could write a proper controller that. Might be kind of nice. can't really use this method in here with the existing routing I have. So what I have to do is I'm going to come in here and I'm just going to right now hard code this. I will remove it. I'm probably going to come up with an easier way to do it. But this is kind of where routing gets a little scary as you start doing different things on different controllers. But for right now, I'm going to set this to be async and hard coding the route, calling this a callback route. And so that's pretty much what I have to do to make this work. So I know a lot of people are going to freak out at this, but sorry. So what I need to do here is I got to spell this correctly, and I'm going to change this root to that. And so here we go. Let's try this again. Okay, drum roll, please. Woohoo! Look at that. Look at that.
Hey! Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, world. That is worth two hellos to the hello world. All right. Well, wow, that was really easy. I mean, you know, if we come back here and take a look at the our code, the JavaScript, at least to enable it, that's not very much code right there, just to do an async request.
It's not too
and
bad.
There's no HTML difference, really. So then, ideally, we should be able to do, I mean, if we can set the HTTP verb here, we should be able to set post and then send in some form variables.
Well, you should be able to hook the submit event from that form and then just walk through all of the form elements and wrap up all their values and send them over.
All right, that sounds pretty, well, I guess straightforward. So let's just say my form post here, and we'll pass in a form element for now. And I'm imagining we're going to do a lot of the same stuff here, right? I mean, we just have to do kind of this kind of deal, except maybe for the URL instead of this, let's see. Yeah, you should be able to just access the action of the form. Reset this to post. And add completed, which that all should be the same. Is there anything else that we need to do in the middle there?
We need to wrap up all the data and set it as the body of the request.
Okay. Okay, so here is the code that it's not much different than this these bits up here. The only difference is we're just looping all the elements of the form and then kind of putting them into a string off to the body here and kind of appending that into the request. So but this is interesting, though. Look at this, string.format. So I didn't know that you could do that with Ajax, Microsoft Ajax. But evidently, they wrap a lot of the native types, like datetime and time span. And
yep, there's a set of array functions that allow you to add and remove and insert elements into arrays. We have the string functions here, date, time. There's quite a few things that you're used to having from the old .NET Framework BCL libraries that we've exposed in the Ajax.
Wow. Okay, so we're doing the same thing here. And we're going to, we're just going to pass this off to request completed. And what I need to do now is just make sure that my action exists. So I'm going to go do that. I'm going to write an action now to handle the postback. Okay, I've got another action result here, or just an action on my controller called postback. Pretty simple, just sending in a form variable here, calling message and popping it back down to the same exact view message and going to output what I put in. And pretty easy stuff, really. Okay, so to wire up my form, all I really need to do now is to override the submit action. And what I'm going to do is just use the function I created, and I forgot the name of it already, myFormPost. There we are. And my form post, and I'm going to pass in the form that is being submitted. And then in order to make sure that this action is stopped from actually posting the entire page back, I have to return false to the onSubmit function. That's going to stifle that. And so now everything looks like it's good to go. So I should be able to run this and see everything work nicely. Okay, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, so I'll just say hello, Sean, instead of hello, world. Post it back. Look at that. Hello, hello, Sean. I've taken what Sean has showed me and cleaned it up just a little bit, and I've tried to encapsulate it now so I can have asynchronous requests go back and forth. So what I did here is I added everything that you saw on the page into a script, and I'm calling it Ajax MVC. Now, I want to point out straight away that the MVC team and the ASP.NET team right now are really busy at work implementing Ajax into the MVC framework. However, for right now, for anybody that needs to actually use some Ajax bits, I'm going to include this code into the application here. So you feel free to download it and use it in your own application. And so I've encapsulated them into various functions here. I'll show you how to use that in a second. I've also created a helper here called an AJAX helper, and I've got an AJAX form in there. So if you want to do an asynchronous form request, you certainly can. And I'll show you how to use that in just a second. The idea here is that when bits get posted back to a controller, you can use an AJAX form to do it asynchronously. And then you can take the whatever the controller renders, you can take that and output that HTML to a div. So let's take a look at how to use this. This is the page that Sean and I just made together. So what I'm going to do is I am going to remove all this script because I don't need it anymore. And now I'm just going to add a reference here to the AJAX bits that I put in here, this script file, Microsoft AJAX MVC. And that should be good enough. And now what I can do, there we go. And now what I can do is instead of having this form here, instead what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the HTML helper that I just created. So in order to do that, I just use a using statement, which hopefully people are familiar with now. And you can see AJAX form is now part, because I just created that extension method. That's right up there in my helpers. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send this back to the catalog controller, and I'm going to set the method to be the postback. And the output control I'm going to send this to, which is part of the AJAX form method call. I have to specify what div element I'm going to put the response to. I'm going to set it to output, like that. And that should be good enough. And then I've got to put my opening brace there. And finally, I'm going to close that off. And so I'm going to put those two inputs back in there. I know I could use the HTML helpers for this, but I want to keep this brief. Okay, that's all I need to do. Notice I don't need to do any on-submit stuff. I don't need to do any return false. That is all completely handled now by the HTML.AJAX form. Okay, so let's test this now. Notice I've pretty much got a pretty trim page here. And so start it up. And type in my new slogan there. We hit go. And look at that. Boom. Outputs to our div. And we're good to go. Okay, so one thing I want to notice here, one thing that I didn't have in the original code, if I come back here to the AJAX MVC script library that I just created, one thing that I added here was a flag, underscore, a couple underscores here, AJAX equals true. The reason I added that is for every postback, what I want to do is I want to let the controller know that this is an asynchronous request. This is really important because, let's come back here and look at our controller. Back here in postback, this might the browser might have JavaScript turned off. If that's the case, then that means our page over here, this page, will just straight away submit this form. It'll submit the form because it won't recognize the on submit. It'll just post to the action. So what's important to do here is that if JavaScript is turned off in the browser, we need to handle that. So you need to handle that at the controller level. And what you'd want to do is check to see if it's an asynchronous request. If it is, then you're going to want to render out the messages we're doing here, or render out whatever partial you're using. However, if the underscore AJAX is not in there, then you'd want to render out a whole complete controller, or excuse me, a whole complete view one more time. Now again, just to reiterate, this is appended by script. This cannot be appended by script if scripting is turned off. So you'd want to have that test in here to make sure that that works right. So I'll leave that up to you. But this is some really basic AJAX stuff that I felt, you know, I want to kind of round everything out, make the code usable. So I will implement this into the project later on. For right now, I'll end this webcast by saying many thanks to my boss, Sean Burke, and thanks for watching. ¶¶